ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Introducing your host from New York, here is Sam Roberts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Wrestling Podcast time. Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, the last one of 2016. In hindsight, we should be doing a year in review, but we're not. We're just doing what's happening in wrestling right now. But that's what the podcast is. Enough of these specials. A year in review, the 100th episode, the millionth download, blah, 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 whatever. Let's just talk about what's going on in wrestling. That's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to start with our interview segment. It's the last of the series of interviews Katie and I did at the Performance Center. If you want to see them, they're on YouTube. Not this one, but the other ones. Just posted the Finn Balor interview, which was a really fun one this week. That's on YouTube.com/NotSam and NotSam.com. This week, I believe in his first podcast since entering WWE, Mr. Apollo Crews. We talked to Apollo about his life, joining NXT, leaving the Uha Nation behind, some interesting story about his parents, and being a part of Breaking Ground, which I'm starting to enjoy more and more, to tell you the truth. I wasn't sure about it at first, but I've been enjoying it as the episodes continue. I haven't watched the newest one, but I watched last week's one last night. Very, very enjoyable. So, let's get right to it, and we'll get into the state of wrestling, of course, with Katie Linendahl after we hear what's going on in the world from the Performance Center in Orlando of Apollo Crews.
And now, the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast interview.
We're here at the WWE Performance Center. Sam Roberts, Katie Linendahl, and Apollo Crews, the newest, most buzzworthy, exciting signee to WWE and NXT.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
This is cool. We were waiting for this one.
Yeah. I mean, the question on everybody's mind, what's the haps?
What's the haps, man? You know, it's out here working every day, just trying to get a grasp of everything, man, because it still doesn't seem real to me.
It doesn't.
It seems like it's, like I said, you dream of a moment. And I've said this before, you dream of a certain moment. Like reaching your dream, you know, and you get there, and when you get there, it feels like you're dreaming. You know what I mean? It's just I'm trying to. I have those moments where it's like, okay, this is real, and then something happens again. Like for me, it was Brooklyn. It's like, oh man, I get settled in, and oh man, Brooklyn, 16,000 people.
Yeah.
And then you know, okay, Brooklyn dies down a little bit, and then here I am in like Texas or Austin, Houston, and San Antonio. I'm like, wow, this is crazy.
Getting ready for the London tour.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm just like, wait. There's no time for it to really like settle in. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much going on that I don't want to miss out on like on those moments. You know,
yeah.
I want to look back and be like, okay, I really enjoy that.
Do you journal?
I don't. I should. I think I should. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone is telling me I should do that just to like document, you know, certain things and go back and just maybe relive what that moment felt like.
Right.
But I've never been much of a writer or a huge reader, so it's
words are not like your
thing. Yeah, I'm just like I just take it in mentally, and then I try to do that, and then I'm like, well, I kind of forget what that feels like, you know, when I think back onto that moment. But
do you have a good memory? Like, do you generally like think, oh, that was when this happened? Yeah,
yeah.
We were in this building, and
my funny thing is I remember like specific details that just the most random thing.
Yeah,
and it'll be like the smallest detail. Like I can remember like you know. I don't know, like the look on my dad's face when this or whatever happened, but I can't remember, you know, that actual moment. It's weird.
Right, like you don't remember why he was looking
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
you remember
the look.
Like
the look on his face. Yeah,
that's
weird.
Funny.
Weird.
You know, it's interesting that like you're looking at this like this is a dream thing and you can't believe it's reality, because you were one of the very few guys who didn't have to come. I mean, you were successful independently wrestling.
Yep, yep.
Not that many people are, but like not only you were making money, you had notoriety, you know what I mean, and you were kind of one of those guys.
It was always a goal. Like the reason I did start doing those, like working on the indies and doing those things before I got here, was to get here, you know. So it was cool. Like at the time when I was asked to come here, I didn't even know if WWE knew about me. You know, I was having fun. I was like, I was like, man, I'm enjoying life. I was traveling to Japan, England, you know, all over the place. So when I was approached by it. By someone who wasn't even, you know, working with the company, I told him, I don't even know, like, if they know who I am. You know, I was kind of like, you know, everyone's like, oh, when you go on a WWE, especially with your family, when you start doing something like that.
Yeah.
Especially with my parents. My parents are Nigerian, so, like, their culture is completely different.
Uh-huh.
So for me to say I want to be a wrestler is not the It's not normal there.
What they have in mind for you?
A lawyer, like go to school, you know, finish school,
to get
become
some
a lawyer, doctor.
Custom-made
suits. Yeah, right. I wouldn't mind that. You know?
Are they over here now?
No, my mom is. Yeah, my parents are separated. My mom lives here, but my dad lives in Ethiopia right now,
wow.
actually. Yeah, he's with the United Nations. Yeah, so his mentality, because he...
It's incredible.
It's pretty cool.
Do you go over and visit?
I haven't for a while. He comes here now. Huh. Yeah. So I saw him. I don't even remember the last time I saw him, to be honest. But he was here recently. Just had a knee replacement, and he has to get the other knee replaced, too. So I'm looking at it like he never played any sports, and if I do this, how many knees do I gotta get?
I was about to say, if you get a knee, what did he do? A somersault off the top rope?
Yeah, I'm like, man, I'll teach you, but you can't do it better than me. Otherwise, they're gonna hire you instead of me.
Where did this high flying action come from?
Well, I took gymnastics as a young kid. I could always flip. I'd be on my bed, whatever, trampolines, just doing like the most random stuff. I was like, I just want to try this, and I'd go and try it. One day I was in my mom used to live in apartments, and I gathered the whole neighborhood, not the whole neighborhood, but most of our friends, and I was like, hey guys, I'm going to do a backflip outside. I don't know why at the time it was such a huge deal, but everyone was like, oh, you can't do it. It's the first time I was going to try it on grass rather than just like a trampoline or
How
like a bed
you?
Or something.
Sure.
I had to be like 6 or 8 or something. I'm not sure yet. It's close to 10. All my childhood memories come from around the age of 10. I don't know why.
But it's a good year.
It is, right? Yeah, I'm like, well, most happy one out of 10. I think I got spanked the most when I was 10. The most stuff happened, yeah, so it's weird. And I go outside and I do this, you know, back handspring, and everyone's like, oh man, that's so cool. So they're like, do it again. And so I had a grasp of like flipping before I started taking gymnastics. And as a kid, like, kids are harsh as kids. And you take, I wish I had my mentality now when I was a kid, mm-hmm. because right now I wouldn't really care what people thought back then. But back then, I cared what people thought. So I take gymnastics. They're like, oh, no, that's not something, you know, a guy should be doing it. You know, just teasing me, picking at me for doing that. So I went and started playing, like, soccer and stuff, a sport I thought was more, like, you know, for me, more
manly.
Meanwhile,
it's giving you such a unique style.
Yeah. If
and
I
you
knew
make
a man,
it look
if
so
I had, if
effortless. It's And that's what I love about this. Like, you just do it just because you can.
Yeah.
You like, know. Mid-match. You're like, I don't need to do it, but I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
There's no, like, here's my hand gesture. Here's my this. Wait till you see this. It's just like, what?
But
what did he just do?
I think that's better because people are more surprised, you know.
Right.
I
mean? Yes.
They look at me, you know, a guy like, you know, built like me, and they don't expect that. You know what I mean? That's what I've, which is cool with me. And that's what I think it was easy for me to, you know, get to certain places I did before I got here because my style was so different.
And is this why you start, like, weight training and getting so big? Because the kids are picking on you. So you're like, not only am I going to know gymnastics, I'm going to be able to punch your face.
There was something like that. But I used to watch wrestling as a kid, and, like, I was just so fascinated by the bigger guys, you know what I mean? Like Ultimate Warrior, guys like that, man, and like Lex Luger, guys are just jacked, you know. And when I went to military high school. When I got there, weightlifting, if you play football, was actually a mandatory class.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like 15 when I started like actually like, you know, caring and being competitive. We'd have like our, you know, our testing days. We like max and like bench squat power cleans, and we'd all be like, you know, in a race. Or, you know, who has the highest lifts and the whole thing. And at one point, I had the highest lifts total, like the 1,000-pound club I made then. I had the highest lifts in the whole school, and that's kind of like where the name I used before this came from. So it's pretty neat.
And that name came from because they said you could take over an entire nation.
Well, he said I was as strong as a whole nation.
Strong as a whole nation. Yeah. That's like a good place to be, man.
You know, I'm like, that's cool with me. You know, at first, I didn't like it. I was like, don't call me that. And, the whole school started calling me Wuhan Nation.
Oh, it has like a vibe to it. Yeah, it plays on.
Cool.
What's that like
cool.
when you get here? So you get to the performance center, and pretty early on, like before you get on and do your first TV match, they rename you. Is there something to this thing? Well, I've built Wuhan Nation as a name and a brand that people know. I don't know if that's something I want to let go of.
Well, I understand how it works too. You know, I was looking at guys coming here before me who even, you know, I had more buzz than I did, or you know, who are bigger stars than me on the Indies, and you know, they all did the same thing. So for me, it was just a thing of, I didn't have any memory behind Apollo Crews. It was just, at the time, it was just a name. It was just like, okay, yeah, I had so much memory behind Wuhan Nation. I was wrestling as him for like 6 years,
right?
You know what I mean? So that was all I knew at the time. I think it just was a matter of building character and building a story to.
So you wanted to get here and start from scratch.
Yeah, and I knew I had to. You know what I mean? And like I said, with everything I did before here led me up to this point, so I appreciate all that. But this is a new start, and I want people to recognize what I do here.
Right.
You know, even though they recognize what I do there, I want them to recognize what I do here. It's a new start, you know, new name, and It's getting better because I'm actually responding to that name. People were calling me Apollo at first, and I'm just completely ignoring because I don't hear it.
But you got to shake people off. Like even on NXT the other week, the commentator Rich was like Apollo Creed, and then Corey was like, "It's Apollo Crews." Right.
It's hard because I think I was doing like a voiceover and I was reading it. And I was just going over it, and I'm like, Apollo Creed. And I didn't even realize I said it. And Ryan Katz had pointed out to me, he's like, yeah, see, you just said Apollo Creed. And I'm like, oh, man, I didn't.
But that's the name. Apollo Creed meets Terry Crews? Is that what it is?
Well, Terry Crews is actually a comedian. I don't call him a comedian, actor. He does multiple things. So,
you should be a football player.
Yeah. And, people say I look like him. Yeah. I think I'm a little more handsome.
You do.
It's all good. So it's funny because when the name came out, a lot of people were tweeting to him. And, I guess he read him and he tweeted me back. He just told me he's loving the new name and that I should represent it well. And I was just like, oh, man, this is awesome.
It's awesome.
It's cool. Yeah.
Your ramp up has been quite fast.
Yes, it has, yeah.
And to come out in NXT TakeOver Brooklyn was huge for you. Yep. And then now, I mean, you have your songs on iTunes. I feel like you just exploded out the gate. Right. Being here at NXT wasn't... It's just fast.
It is. And it's one of those things, like I said earlier, I don't want to miss out on the moments. You know, like, I want to remember everything. Like Triple H has said it before, no matter where we go from here, we're going to look back on this moment. It's probably going to be the greatest time of our life. You know, I don't want to look back and be like, wow, NXT, I remember, I love it, but it just went by so fast.
Yeah.
You know, I want to enjoy it.
So you almost don't want to be rushed up to the main roster. You want to kind of live in this for a second.
Yeah, like, I want to do, like, we have, you know, I have goals that I set, and I want to accomplish everything I can here possible.
Yeah.
You know, and I think...
So when you become the number one contender this earlier, you guys like, slow down, guys.
For me, it's amazing, because my tryout was a year ago, you know, and day one, I said I was going to come in here, and my goal is to be champion. Mm-hmm. You know, so that... for me to be in this spot is an honor.
Yeah.
You know, it just shows that my road isn't harder than anybody else's, but I do know how hard I've worked to get here.
Right.
You know, and to be in this opportunity is a blessing. It's an honor. You know, I'm glad they have the faith in me to put me in this position. And I want to go out there and take full advantage of it, make the best of it.
Yeah.
And to put you in a position at TakeOver in Brooklyn, I feel like, you know, when we were chatting before this, you have these moments in life where you've worked so hard to get to that moment.
Yeah.
What was it like for you coming out? Were you nervous? And you're like, either you make it or break it in this moment. There's so many people watching. It turned out to be much bigger than anybody anticipated.
Right.
Was it just like very intense for you?
It's weird that I had serious cotton mouth, but I wasn't like, I was relaxed, you know. But I go. And
so it just hit you right in the mouth.
Right, yeah. I'm just like, I'm like, yeah, my guys, I'm Apollo Crews, you know. And I think I came out and it was just a genuine reaction. Like I. Like, what you saw on camera was what I was going through my head.
It seems like a lot with you. Like, you're very genuine, and it's captured.
It like, I came out, and the first thing I noticed is how many people were there. And I cussed as soon as I came out.
I'm like, wait.
You know what I'm saying? It was the first thing I said when I came out. And
what did the word start with?
Oh. And then the second one was an S.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
But you have to be like, I got this.
Yeah.
Like, I have to own this moment. It's like sink or swim.
But it is. I was like, no matter how many people have been out there, I know I've been in the ring before. Mm-hmm. It's not my first time coming out here in the ring. It is my first time in front of that many people. But I know when it comes down to it, I know what I'm doing in here. So I'd say, given this opportunity, like I said, if they're throwing me in the deep end, wherever they're throwing me at, I got to learn how to swim right now, and I got to learn how to swim very well. So,
Speaking of learning how to swim, like, it's kind of weirdly coincidental that just as you start to get rolling, WWE has this Breaking Ground show.
Yep.
So now you not only have to learn how to, you know, be an NXT superstar, but you also have to do it with a camera on you.
Yeah, and that was it was different at first because I've never had a camera follow me like almost 24/7. You know, they come to my house, they follow me everywhere. There's one day where he followed me literally from 7 a.m. in the morning from my house to here, back to my house.
Wow.
You want to just punch him in the face at some point? Like, dude, what's up?
It's just weird, Kanye West. Like, can't ride my face.
For me, it was like, it was weird at first, and they said, after a couple weeks they used to, and I was like, I don't think I will. But the other day we're sitting here, and someone was like, oh, the camera's pointing on you, and I'm like, where? And I didn't even notice he was there, and I was like, oh, you know, I've gotten used to it. But it's a cool opportunity for us to, like, you know, for people to see what we do here. I don't think everybody fully understands what we go through on becoming NXT superstars or how hard we work here in this performance center.
What is it that you want them to see? Like, what are some of the things that you're doing that you want people to see on Breaking Ground?
I want people to get a new respect for this. You know, I mean, everyone has their opinions on sports entertainment, but you know, no matter what is said, I don't think people understand exactly how hard we work. You know, we're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll come in here before those shows, either get ring time or get gym time. And I just don't, and then Saturday we have our only off day down here is Sunday. Uh-huh. Sunday's our only off day. And Saturday, let's we Jacksonville, 2.5 hour drive, get back 2 a.m. You know what I mean? Got a meal prep the next day. And Sunday might not even be an off day because I'll still go to the gym. I have laundry to do.
Right.
You know, errands to run, grocery shopping, whatever you have to do. So it's I want people to understand that no matter what's said about professional wrestling or sports entertainment, I should say rather, we still work extremely hard to entertain everybody.
And what's the hardest thing that you do here at the Performance Center?
Physically, I think just getting up every day and having to repeat what we did the day before, no matter how sore you are. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in the ring 3 hours, in the gym hour, 30 minutes. And it's, you know, it's like back to back. And then we have to get up the next day, do it again, you know. So you get beat up, you get bruised, and then doing the shows too. It's like, you know, you feel different pain every day. You know, your back might hurt one day, your knee hurts the other day, but just to get up and push yourself, and you got to know your body as well too. You know when you're injured and you know when you're hurt.
How do you differentiate your physicality? Like, how do you keep your figure and your shape that you want to when there's things that you're doing as wrestlers that are consistent and that everybody does across the board? Then is it just taking it to the weight room?
I think
knowing who's helping you train.
We got a great strength and conditioning coach in here, which he'll lay out like you know, weightlifting programs for us, you know.
Knowing
what I mean?
What you want, though.
Yeah, knowing our goals. Yeah, like, knowing to our goals, and he gives us programs according to what we do in here as well. You know, it won't be anything. You know, we understand, like, when we get in the ring, some days we may not like go too crazy, mm-hmm. especially if we have a rough day in the gym or something like that. But we make sure we stretch out every day. We started doing yoga here too, actually.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's cool. We have a yoga, I think, like once a week. It's an hour long, so they're just giving us different options for us to stay as healthy as possible because they know how hard we go. And they know how important it is to get the rest is just as important, if not more important, than putting in the actual work.
Absolutely.
You know, eating, dieting, you know, when you can, getting that rest when you can. You know, and then being on the road, being in a car. I don't think people really understand. People have taken road trips. Everyone's sure. taken road trips. But I don't think you do a road trip, I mean, maybe a couple times a year. You know, we're on the road 3 days a week, maybe even more when you get to the main roster. So it's not as easy as people think, and that's what I want people to see is that, you know, we work extremely hard, but we do it because we love it, and we do it to entertain everybody.
And how do you get past this mentality? Because a guy in your position could, on those hard days where it's like you don't want to get up,
right.
you don't want to do it, it's the same thing you've done 100 times, you don't want to do it. You could be saying to yourself, you know, I could just be back in Dragon Gate and not have to deal with any of this.
Right.
Like, I walked out today, I got a job tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, how do you remind yourself on what that this is a much bigger long-term picture?
For me, this is where I wanted to be since day one. You know, like even doing all the things I did before this is the ultimate goal. And there's thousands of people that would die to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm here. So for me to wake up and not take full advantage of it, I don't think it's fair to those guys, because
mm-hmm.
they could easily be here wanting it more than me or outworking me. You know, so my motivation just comes from just being here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
the first day I walked in here, it still hasn't wore off on me that we're in a place like this. You know what I mean? Because before where I came from, you don't have stuff like this.
Where were you living before Orlando?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was living out there flying out. And my training school back in Atlanta was, you know, a warehouse.
Right.
Rings that don't look like this.
Who were you hanging with here mostly?
Here is probably
like your buddies.
Solomon Crowe, Levis Valenzuela, Kenneth Crawford, Angelo Dawkins, those are probably the core guys that I hang out with. I got a nice group of people here that I've actually bonded with.
That's good.
A lot of them from my class that I came in with.
I think people on Breaking Ground, it's exciting to see those moments as much as it is with the hard work.
Yeah.
Like, who's like, that dude hang with?
I think that's what people want to see, too, is like when they come to my house, I think people want to see that. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see what he does.
I mean, when you're a kid and you're watching wrestling, like, you're like, yeah, but no, but, you know, they're friends in real
life. Right,
yeah, and it's like, really? What do you think they do?
It's good for people to see that. You know what I mean? Like, it's good for them to see what we do. As hard as we work here, you know, we do outside, too. You know, we hang out. You know, I'm a regular dude. We're all regular people. I like to go to, you know, the mall and do this or go, I wouldn't say the gym.
Do you get recognized a lot out now?
I have lately, and it's weird because I'm still not used to it.
You weren't getting recognized as UHA?
Sometimes I would, but not just walking around like Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it'd be like more through social media or at the actual show. Like, I might be like down the street from the venue before I get there. But here, I'm like, I know a lot of people live in Orlando that watch the product, but I'm at Jason's Deli or something, and they're like, oh, you're Apollo Crews. And I'm like, is that me? I am him. That is me.
You can get a free sandwich.
Right. I'm like,
free sandwich.
Hey, that's cool. You know, and people in my apartment complex, actually, I was coming back from Texas. So I was just unpacking my bags from the car, taking them in. This girl walks by, and she's just looking at me funny. And I'm like, do I have something like this? What's going on? She comes back. She's like, she's always on the phone when she walked by. She comes back. She's like, are you Apollo Crews? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. I was like, I just got back from Texas, long day. Apparently, her boyfriend works at Full Sail.
Ah.
Yes, he's a fan, too, so it was cool. It saw him the other day. They're nice people, man. And coming down the same apartment complex, this little girl's coming down the stairs. She's just like, hi. And the guy's looking after her. Was like, say hi to Apollo. And I'm like, oh, it's just cool to be, you know, totally. See that kind of thing. Yeah.
I got a weird question for you. How come I go on WWEshop.com and I type in New Day and Apollo Crews comes up?
I think it's the back of my shirt says day one.
Day.
So all maybe right. The day.
You got, might be a you gotta search New Day in quotes.
Yeah, right. I think that day matches.
Day is a key word.
All sorts of confusing. We've actually had this conversation on a podcast before. It's, I don't know if we could ever see you like in a tag. Do you ever see yourself teamed up with someone? Or are you such like a solo deal?
I like being solo. I like being solo. I like depending, even when I, you know, did things in high school, even as a team sports, I like, there's something about just depending on yourself. Like, when you're out there, it's you versus this guy, you know, and you know that you're your only chance of survival. You know what I mean? I thrive off of that.
Would you ever be interested in a manager?
And me having one and me being one? Yeah, definitely.
You being one, dude.
Yeah, it's not working out for you today right now, dude.
Not right now.
It's kind of impressive.
You know, I definitely wouldn't mind that. That'd be pretty cool. I think there'd be some interesting things we could do there, too. So that'd be cool. Tagging is I wouldn't mind it, but I do love singles a lot more.
Yeah,
but a manager would be pretty cool, actually. Huh. I could see that, though. Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to watching everything happen.
Definitely. I appreciate it, guys.
Terry Creed here.
All things Apollo Crews.
Right. Yeah.
Apollo Crews. And I heard this is your first podcast since you signed with WWE. Is that right?
Yeah. I've done interviews, but nothing like this. So this is pretty amazing. I'm excited about this.
Good, genuine character.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it.
She is what she get.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. It was fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here is Sam Roberts.
Big thanks to Apollo Crews. I'm thinking big things for that guy, as a matter of fact. I mean, everybody loves him. Very, very good in the ring. If you want to be a part of big things, then get yourself a podcast t-shirt. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/Sam Roberts, and you can get a Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast t-shirt, a Not Sam t-shirt, whatever you want. What's the Haps t-shirt? They're all there at prowrestlingtees.com/Sam Roberts. It's a big help to everything podcast related. And it's only if we keep doing long podcasts, that's only going to up server costs. So you better be buying some clothing, you know. This stuff doesn't come free like it does for you. Somebody's got to pay for it, right? Right. Anyway, still stuff going on in the world of wrestling. Never sleeping, never sleeping. No, we're not doing a year in review. We are doing a state of wrestling about what's going on in the world of wrestling right now. I was at the Madison Square Garden House show on Saturday. Katie and I were both at Monday Night Raw this week in Brooklyn. Lots of wrestling to talk about. So let's talk about it here with Katie Linendahl on the state of wrestling. Take it away, Howard Finkel.
It's now time for this week's State of Wrestling.
Welcome to the State of Wrestling, where we talk about the state of wrestling. With me, as always, or as usual, Katie Linendahl. Katie, how's it going?
Very excited for the return of Juan Cena.
Juan Cena.
Juan Cena.
I love that he added that in. That's that, like, we hate anyone that's not American heel heat. Like, just the fact that he said it in Espanol is enough to be like, boo, that's not our language.
Yeah. He's like, my bad, this one's on me. No, wait, that was our truth.
Wow, there's a lot to talk about.
Lots to talk about.
I don't know where to begin. I want to talk a little bit about going to the house show on Saturday at the Garden. I want to talk about a certain other person that made a return at a house show recently and now has another house show booked, John Cena. But why don't we start
with how about you almost got kicked out by Stardust at
the house
show?
Is that where you want to start?
Yeah, that'd probably be a good jump-off point.
The video, I would hope.
The video doesn't lie.
Yeah, you've seen it, I hope, by now. It's on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. It's wherever you look. I did. It was a really fun house show at the Garden on Saturday. John Cena's return. He, you know, he wrestled Alberto Del Rio in a similar match to Raw. But, you know, I mean, Katie, you of all people know, but I would hope that most of the audience knows house shows are the funnest shows to go to.
For sure.
No commercial breaks, no promos. And it's like you can tell guys are out there and they get to finally try things. They just get to – wrestlers get to wrestle at house shows. And that's why they're fun to go to. I mean, obviously for me, my favorite part was Stardust on his way out of the building telling a security guard that I had just hit him and that I should be kicked out. And you can see in the video, he's walking out and he's like glancing and he sees me and he looks away. And then he just decides to turn around and be like – get him out of here.
And
get
the security
him.
Guy's
get
like, the guy with the big hair?
Right, the ball security guy is making an afro motion with his hand.
Him?
Yeah. And then the one referee he liked when I told him what I said. If I had hit Stardust, he wouldn't be standing anymore.
Oh.
That's what I said.
Next level.
I let him know. And the referee liked that. He liked. But even that, which was so much fun. I mean, look, I love going to the shows. The WWE shows are just... Wrestling shows in general are a blast to be at, but I mean, I don't have a better time at many things than at wrestling shows. Like, that's why my voice is going.
Yeah, I woke up today and I sounded like a man.
Finally.
Well, what does that even mean?
You're going through puberty.
Oh, no. That was not a good thing.
Oh.
I had my first conference call and I was like, it sounded horrible because we
were
yelling.
I'd like to be a representative for you.
I was yelling a lot last night with you.
Yeah, well, we were at Raw on Monday, and I was at the house show on Saturday. You were still in Boston for Christmas, spending time with family for whatever reason. There was wrestling.
Yay!
But yeah, I mean, just shouting for the good guys and booing those bad guys. It's my favorite thing to do.
Is it a new thing for you to do?
No. No, it's just – but I get this thing. Like, I started a Ryback Rules chant at the Madison Square Garden house show.
It's really creative, Sam.
Well, it was funny because if you watch Table for Three, Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler make fun of him for trying to get – he starts trying to get the crowd to chant, feed me more. And or he's trying to get – the crowd is chanting, feed me more. Ryback's trying to get Ryback Rules to become a thing. So he's going Ryback Rules, and the crowd's chanting, feed me more. So in the middle of the match – and we had good, great seats. In the middle of the match, he was wrestling Rusev. He's on the ground, and me and the guy I was with and a couple of other people in our section just start chanting, Ryback Rules! Ryback Rules! And for a second – he starts, like, pounding the mat, like, yeah, it's my chant. And then he realizes, oh, that's from Table for Three when they were goofing on me. So he tweeted about
it. That's fun. That's almost as funny as him burping into the mic.
What was he doing?
It was amazing. That was the best thing that ever happened to the microphone and Ryback in one combination.
He comes out on Raw and just belches.
Excuse me.
Like, I don't even understand that. That's not his character. That doesn't make any sense.
No, not at all. That was the best part about it.
It was really, really funny. But my favorite part, there was that, there was the John Cena thing, the Stardust thing.
R-Truth.
R-Truth was my favorite, I think. R-Truth comes out, and at the Madison Square Garden house show, he wrestled Adam Rose, the Party Pooper. So the Party Pooper's in there, the match has been going on, and I mean, R-Truth is in full R-Truth mode. Not only is he saying, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up, but he ends, which he doesn't even do that much anymore.
The split.
With a whoop. There it is. And for some, I don't understand why the audience responds by also saying whoop, there it is.
You're encouraging him.
Right. The audience should respond by saying, Men on a Mission did that in 93.
Men on a Mission.
It was cheesy when Men on a Mission did it in 93.
If Mabel, who's 8 feet and massive, could kick your ass and not make that cool now, then you can't make it.
Right. You can't go into 2016. 2016. 93.
Right.
You know? So he goes in. But, you know, for the record, I love what is happening with R-Truth right now.
Everybody
does. Just that they're embracing. And I think, well, I'll get into that in a minute. But he's wrestling this match with Adam Rose. And all of a sudden, his belt starts coming undone. And mid-match, his belt, the button on his pants, and his zipper completely come open. He's wearing basketball shorts under his jeans. But, like, he hits the mat hard. And he just lays there face down. And he has to get the referee's attention. And they're obviously trying to figure out a finish to this thing. Because R-Truth cannot get his pants fastened. Whoop, there it is.
There it went.
Yeah. He's trying to get his pants fastened. So he's
and wasn't
like,
it Chuck, our boy Chuck?
It was Charles Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you this. Say what you want about Refgate. Chuck pulled it off this time.
All right. I'll hand it to him.
It was clear to me anyway that R-Truth was like, we got to go home. Meaning we got to end this match. Because I can't keep my pants up anymore. My pants are open. So R-Truth just has to get up, do his finisher, you know, where he drops him down. And holding his pants with one arm. Because they weren't buttoned. Even while he was on the ground, he couldn't get them zipped and buttoned up. And he hits his finish with his pants undone. Covers Adam Rose with his pants undone. And gets the 1-2-3 with his pants undone. He tries to, like, fasten his belt to close them so he can walk back to the locker room. And Charles Robinson is just dying laughing on his way back.
That is hilarious.
It was so funny. And it wasn't like R-Truth doing goofy R-Truth. It was like, that's the real R-Truth. Sometimes jokes are based in reality. Sometimes
the OMG moment of the year is really a real moment.
Exactly. And I think that WWE was taken aback by a few things from the Slammy Awards. This is why I'm quite sure that they were legitimate in the voting. I think that the spot that Neville was in on Raw this week was 100%. Having to do with the fact that he won that award. I think that they thought Kevin Owens was going to win the award. And that's why Dolph Ziggler was presenting it.
But then why demolish him instead of putting him over after that?
Well, he won the match. And so I don't think that, like, he wasn't quote-unquote buried. They buried him. He wasn't buried. So I think it's okay to demolish because they still, Kevin Owens is like, and you listened to that building last night. Hopefully, you know, they're realizing it's time to build with Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a nice slow build happening with him. And I just love it. But
love it.
So, yeah, I mean, I think Neville was actually put in a position, I feel like, where he can be sympathetic, good guy, not necessarily loser, because he did win the match. You know what I mean? He rolled him up and pinned him 1-2-3 real quick. So he won the match. And a lot of Kevin Owens' shots that he got in were cheap shots. Like, the reason he was able to lay out Neville was cheap shots. Looking at that segment, you know, obviously Kevin Owens would beat Neville. But you wouldn't look at that and say, well, Neville is a jobber. He has no chance against Kevin Owens. You know what I mean? They didn't feed Neville to Kevin Owens. So I think that's where it's still okay. I'm interested, and I don't really mind the fact that there's there's Ambrose over here, Owens over here, Neville over here. Because, you know, I don't know exactly where Neville fits in with the story, but I like that he's kind of around, that Kevin Owens has two rivals right now, you know?
I like that he's playing on that level, because I've had issues with him not getting the proper push.
Yeah, and I think, to your point, and I could see then where you'd be sensitive about the fact that they just lay this dude out now. I don't think
But you are right now. You've kind of changed my mind in the sense that who was he laid out by?
Exactly.
And what mix is he in?
Perfect.
Fair enough.
And he pinned the guy. He beat him.
And in the end, he did win.
Right.
Okay.
And it was and he was laid out with cheap shots. I feel like potentially, and you can't tell by, you know, just one segment on TV or two segments as it was, but potentially this could elevate Neville. And the same thing with R-Truth. I think the reason that R-Truth came out and did the thing he did on Miz TV on Raw this week was because he won the OMG award. I didn't think they necessarily thought he was going to win that award. And now that he has, they're like, oh, we got to do this more often, which is right on the money. I thought it was, even though it's the same thing over and over again, I thought it was hilarious when R-Truth did it this week.
Still funny.
Yeah. Now,
I was a little still confused on that segment.
Yeah, it turned out, like, at first you're like, oh, they're giving TV time to everybody who never gets TV time. Oh, it's just so Big Show can announce he's in the Royal Rumble. What do you think of the Big Show right now? So the Big Show comes out on Raw, and he lays out everybody on Miz TV except The Miz, which I think is smart because it makes The Miz even more of a bad guy. But, he, you know.
Call him what you want. That scarf was amazing.
Amazing. And you know who's
MVP? The warmth in that scarf.
I mean, it was a two-person size scarf. It was literally 12 feet
like
long.
A blanket of continent.
Absolutely. You know who I think was the MVP of that segment? Heath Slater. Heath Slater is a guy. They always tell you, no matter what you get, no matter how much TV time you have, no matter what role you're in, you go out there and you make it count. And if anybody made that segment count for themselves, everybody got a little shine. R-Truth got to be funny. Ryback decided to use his time to belch.
So good. That was so far my... Well, I guess it's not the moment of the year because it's not the new year. Never mind.
They should redo the Slammy so he can get the OMG moment of the year.
So good.
I think
you want to be in that mix, though? Do you want to be... You want your music to hit in that orchestra of talent?
I mean, there's no doubt. You know, aside from Ryback, it's a bummer for Ryback. That's probably why he burped. But everybody else, you know, that's where they are.
It's
WWE.
Funny, though, because we talk about every dang week, we talk about the power of the universe.
WWE universe?
Yes. Mm. And the universe itself is also universes are very powerful. But the power behind Slater and I'm having a senior moment.
R-Truth?
No, woo-woo you. You know what? Come on.
Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder. The power behind both of them as fan favorites still isn't enough.
No.
No.
But what I'm getting at is Heath Slater used that moment to really, like, he had 10 seconds to make an impact, and he made an impact. You remember Heath Slater in that segment. Heath Slater, baby!
I disagree with you.
Really?
Yeah.
So nothing for you. Did nothing.
Oh, I think everybody was excited to see all those wrestlers.
Because you don't see them much on Raw.
And everybody still loves them. But I'm still confused as to, I'm not confused. A, would you want to be in that mix? B, what did that do for anything moving forward?
It didn't do anything for any of those guys. But, I mean, what it did was it gave you five guys Big Show could lay out.
Okay, that's
fair. I mean, that's what it was for. They were fed to the Big Show. Like, that's the difference. If Neville were in there and he got fed to the Big Show, then it's like, oh, Neville. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't. You're right. Goldust, R-Truth, maybe R-Truth for his joke furthers a little bit, you know, because he was funny. But Goldust doesn't do anything for him. It doesn't do anything for Zack Ryder. You know, I think it does a little bit for Heath Slater. None of those guys have anything going on.
Speaking of somebody else who doesn't have anything going on right now, either too, talk about Miz.
Miz has nothing going on.
That's a filler right now.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's his segment, and he didn't get laid out. I think I'm a Miz fan.
I know you are.
I think he's a good bad guy, and I think there's still a lot of potential with him. You know, is it going to be used or not? I don't know. But I think, what do you think of the Big Show, I guess, is the big question.
Oh, man, it's a tough one because we had this conversation about a month ago. And
yes.
I feel like we were both in agreement that they are appropriately peppering him in. And what was it, the match that he had that was actually, was it, goodness. Was it Lesnar?
Yeah. Yes, he fought Lesnar.
How long ago was that? About a month and a half?
Wasn't it at the Garden Show?
2 months? And it was strong. And it was strong-ish.
Strong-ish.
In the sense that I like where they use him as much as they use Mark Henry. It's not overkill. It's not Kane overkill.
Mm-hmm.
He's still an icon.
Yeah.
It's peppered in appropriately. So I'm in.
You're okay with it.
And it kind of pisses me off when, like, the retire chants start. Maybe it's just because I've warmed up to him as an individual on and off offline.
It feels mean.
It feels mean.
It does feel mean, doesn't it? He's trying.
I mean, I understand he's old.
Right. He's an older guy.
After seeing how big of a heart he has, I know this is so off tangent. I just...
Look, I mean, I know the Big Show.
Big Show.
And I think he's a great dude. I don't like the chants either, personally. I get why they're there. I saw at the house show, him and Mark Henry had a match.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the Big Show speared Mark Henry at this moment. And I just took a second to be like, a guy that size.
Speared him?
At his age, who's still moving like that.
Has he ever speared anybody?
Yeah, here and there.
That's an odd move for Big Show, though.
I mean, it's very impressive. It's very impressive. And I believe that the Big Show can be better used. I think he deserves to have a strong showing in the Royal Rumble. He's obviously not going to win the thing. But I think the Big Show should be used sporadically, but as a monster. So right now, he's used sporadically, like you said. He's just peppered in. But he's still not taken seriously. You know what I mean?
But why go all that way to make such a big announcement for a Royal Rumble? Why make him such a key card?
In the Rumble?
Yeah.
Well, just because he's big and it would be tough to knock him over the top rope, I guess. It's just a way to start the thing, you know? I think it's nice that he gets a little credibility, but I think the Big Show should have a very strong showing in the Rumble. Maybe have Lesnar surprise entrant and eliminate him. I don't know. But he should have a very strong showing. He should not be thrown out early.
Agreed.
As a matter of fact, maybe like take the first five guys and have the Big Show easily throw them out. Like, let's think that maybe the Big Show could win this. Because I think going forward with the Big Show, you should only have him wrestle maybe three times a year.
That it goes back to my whole point. Absolutely.
But have it big matches.
Mm-hmm.
And give it – there needs to be an air – something in the air that says he could win. Right now, you know, he has a strong showing against Lesnar. It gets built up. It's obvious that he's being fed to Lesnar, right? Like, you know that going in.
Correct.
And you know he's not going to win.
But it's better than a Kofi July 4th spectacular.
Yeah.
It's a little more aggressive, which I like.
It is more aggressive. You know, it's not, yeah, it's not, I guess it's not so much of Kofi being fed. And by the way, this is July Kofi, not December
Kofi. Yeah, that's fair point.
Because today, Kofi today is very, very different.
Yep. I mean, he wants to beat up little kids, which we'll get to that too.
Such a funny promo. They're doing so well, the New Day. So tell me, let's talk about Lesnar. But that's what I think. I think you're – me and you, same boat, Big Show sporadically. But I think the Big Show needs to dominate a lot more when he's used sporadically.
So can you close the loop for me, though?
And I think he's an attraction in that way.
With that said
– yes.
And say that direction continues. So what happens at the Rumble if they play their cards right?
Big Show stays in the Rumble for a considerable amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
He eliminates, 10-plus people. He eliminates a lot of people.
What kind of card number are we talking to? Let's give it a little more detail.
Well, he said last night he's coming in at number one.
Yeah, but was that real?
Yeah.
How can you just declare yourself one?
That's the Big Show. What are you going to tell him? No, he's big. He's very, very big.
All right.
So he comes in number one.
All right.
And he survives for a good while. He eliminates a lot of people.
Okay.
He takes out maybe the first three individuals. So, like, the Big Show starts... Number two comes out. He throws him right out. He's got a minute to wait for number three. Number three comes out. He throws him out. Maybe that's how you book New Day. I know it sucks for New Day, but...
It better not be how you book Tatanka.
Maybe that's how you book Heath Slater.
There you go.
Right? Okay. Maybe it's the same guys in the Miz segment. I don't know. But, yeah, you have him eliminate those guys. And then... Right now, I'm still going with my pick to win the Royal Rumble is Brock Lesnar. And I believe he'll be a surprise entrant, unless he gets an maybe one. It doesn't matter whether he's a surprise or not. Is regardless. My pick to win the Royal Rumble is Brock Lesnar, and I believe Brock Lesnar should be the guy who eliminates the Big Show. He's the only one that should eliminate the Big Show.
Very smart. I like where you're going.
Thank you.
Where does that take Big Show, though?
Take him off TV for a while. Have him do... Next time we see Big Show...
Oh, so you're saying it's not a continued storyline.
No.
It's that comeback later deal.
Next time we see Big Show, and it should not be against Brock Lesnar next time, because Brock's going to beat him again. Next time we see Big Show, he should run in and start a feud with somebody, and we're like, oh my gosh, the Big Show's back. This is a big deal. This mm-hmm. is scary. He's a monster, and he's back.
Then do you even have him... I know this is a dumb question, but do you even have him at the house shows?
No. Nope. No, he should be... Used,
reserve.
He should be used as an attraction. And maybe he warms up with some house shows when he comes back.
Sure.
But, you know, house shows is where I want to go. Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
He wrestled in Japan against Kofi. That was televised. We saw him at the Garden against Big Show. Who did he wrestle in L.A.? Do you remember?
Big Show?
Just recently? I thought it was Rusev. I think he wrestled Rusev in L.A. He wrestled at the L.A. house show like a week or two ago. Did you know that? Non-televised.
Big Show?
No, Brock. Brock,
I think you told me that.
ADR.
Alberto. Okay. It was Brock versus Alberto.
I thought you said that was a strong match. Can we acknowledge Kathy Kelly's name?
Yeah, Kathy
Goodness.
Kelly is.
Cut the girl like a Hello?
Kathy Kelly's...
hello to Kathy Kelly.
She's my research assistant. She's like,
And the look Sam just gave her was like, you better be Googling that.
How do you not know this, Kathy? She was at the show, by the way. Yeah, so he wrestled Alberto Del Rio at the house show. Mm-hmm. He just got booked. And at first I thought it was interesting that he was doing that house show not on TV. You know, Brock only has so many days. He's booked on another house show in Houston, not on TV.
Is that a warm-up?
In January, he's got Sheamus at a Houston house show.
Sheamus.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, you're just doing that for...
For?
Pure warm-up. That's in my head. I don't know.
For what match? I'm following you. I'm with you.
Oh, so you're... Wait, are you going back to... now we're in Rumble territory, but we have... Between Rumble and Mania, we have Fastlane.
Correct. Because here's where it goes. In my,
you're a much better fantasy booker than I will ever be.
This is, in my opinion, what makes sense.
Okay.
Sheamus is the champion going into WrestleMania, and it's Brock Sheamus in the main, in the title match. Now, this match has to be booked very well, and the story has to be told very well, because that's a very easy match to take a dump on. Because you got Sheamus, who nobody cares about, and Brock Lesnar, who is a part-time guy. So it's a very easy match to take a dump on. But it elevates Sheamus because it's Brock. We can't say Brock's not going to win the title because he's a part-time guy, because we've seen him do it before.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the potential to do good things for Sheamus. I feel like, you know, what the match I'd like to see at WrestleMania is John Cena and Roman Reigns for the title. I think that'd be amazing.
I feel like they were kind of setting that up a little bit.
Well, that was off TV, I think. I think TV was off.
Shoot. I wish I would have. I don't know, man.
But last night, or on Monday night on Raw, they did John Cena. I don't know if it was off TV or not, but they did a face-off between John Cena and Roman Reigns at the end of the night. I think that they're setting that up for the future, but I don't think they're setting it up for WrestleMania. I think they have bigger plans. Like I said, I'm still sticking with the idea that John Cena and The Undertaker...
Mm-hmm.
And Triple H and Roman Reigns are the matches at WrestleMania. That's what I think is going
to
happen.
I'm curious, though, to briefly hit on the fact that I understand we know that Lesnar has a limited contract, right?
Yes.
But is just as surprised as we were almost a year ago when he went on SportsCenter and said his opinions have changed and he wants to stay in wrestling.
Yes.
And he's not going back to UFC.
Yes.
I think in that same regard, he could easily... have a not, I'm not saying a full-time contract. I just think there's more.
Maybe more dates.
100%. And I feel like you've never thought that.
Well, here's the thing. He knows what money he can make for his limited dates. Brock Lesnar's not a wrestling fan. He's a money fan. So he knows what he can make for his limited dates, which means he will, I'm sure, work more dates. But it's going to cost the limited contract plus, like, if you want me to work double dates, cool.
Well, of course.
Double the money. And that is where... You know, it's a very, to my knowledge, I don't know what the number is, but I'm assuming he's making quite a handsome fee for a very limited schedule. And he's wrestling more matches this year or right now than he has recently because of those four house shows he's doing. But, you know, you do have to wonder how much money WWE is going to invest in Brock and where, because right now it is good. You know, where's the ratio? Because it seems like the more dates, theoretically, the less special it could become. The less special it becomes, the less money it draws, the less money it's worth, and now you're paying more for something that's less
special.
You got
to split the difference.
You do have to split the difference.
Because now you're talking about a company that's, like, growing bigger, and they're like, oh, this is horrible. No, it's a great problem to have that you're growing bigger. If the ratings are going to continue to be bad,
true,
which hopefully they're on the uptick, then you
they
need
are
them
because
back
of me.
You mean to tell me that... that Heyman and Lesnar aren't going to add to ratings. And you don't have to do it all the time. You don't want to overdo it.
Just a little more,
you're
saying.
A little more. It's going to weigh itself out.
I think that's right. I think that's a good point. And I think they could benefit from it.
Who needs Heyman and Lesnar? Me and my grapefruits are back on TV.
Brock Lesnar is on the squad?
What squad is that?
I got really nervous because somebody said they really get irritated on the Nikki Bella impression. It's getting that bad.
Well, I think it's an irritate. I mean, I think that they get irritated for the Nikki Bella impression because they get irritated by Nikki Bella.
Well, no, though he explicitly said that.
Right.
But it's,
and by the way, it's his fault for getting irritated by the wonderful Nikki Bella.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Look.
What's his problem?
He's got lots of problems.
Tons of them.
Did you see on Raw Vince McMahon said pal?
Pal.
Well, now I can't hear Vince McMahon without thinking of you. How I've screwed over so many people that listen to this podcast, and now they can't listen to Nikki Bella. I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
I do the same thing when I hear Vince. I'm like, whoa, I thought that was you.
Yeah. So do you? What do you think of a WrestleMania where you've got a Sheamus and Brock Lesnar title match? The only other scenario, and you know.
Oh, Sam, you've been going through my notebooks again.
The only other scenario is that they have Daniel Bryan, which I don't think they do, but that they have Daniel Bryan on the back burner. They are going to have him surprise return at the Rumble.
There's no way with a concussion movie out now and in the concussion relevancy across sports media, they're going to have Daniel Bryan back, in my humble opinion.
Well, you tell Will Smith he can kiss my ass.
Does he know about that club?
Yeah. But say he's cleared, and they're just not telling anybody.
He
could be cleared because other okay. people have been cleared, and other doctors have cleared him. But say he's cleared and he is coming back for the Rumble. It's going to be, I'm telling
the Rumble.
Ladies and gentlemen, if Daniel Bryan comes back for the Rumble
and then wins the Rumble,
he will win the Rumble and he will, mark my words, wrestle Sheamus for that title at WrestleMania. Y'all can say it'll be Roman Reigns all you want. It won't be. That would be WWE's wet dream come true if they could finally have their Daniel Bryan Sheamus main event. All they want is for Daniel Bryan and Sheamus to wrestle at WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan said on this podcast months ago, you can go and look it up on iTunes for free, by the way. He said that before he was booked for his WrestleMania, where he won the title,
he
was booked with Sheamus. And before he was booked in the ladder match at 31, Sheamus! All they want is Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. And if Daniel...
But I almost feel like one of those was a dark match. Am I crazy? Years back. Well, it was a real highlight of his disappointment in his career.
It was. It was a U.S. title pre-show match.
Sucks.
There was two. There was the U.S. title pre-show match, and then there was the world title match that lasted 8 seconds at WrestleMania, where Sheamus brogue kicked him and won the title.
Right.
Right. So, if Daniel Bryan does come back, and I want everybody to be prepared for this because everybody's like hoping he does. I'm not saying he will. He very well may not. If he does, Daniel Bryan and Sheamus will be the main event for WrestleMania 32. I'm not so against it. I think it'd be a good match. And I actually think Sheamus is in a better place now than he has been in many, many years because of the League of Nations. That's your match, though. Sheamus, Daniel Bryan. And you know why it would be effective? Daniel Bryan would get cheered to high heaven, and Sheamus would get booed out of the building. And there's never been a better combination of good guy versus bad guy than Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. Even with this fickle audience.
It's strong.
They love cheering Daniel Bryan, and they love booing Sheamus.
It's strong.
That's the main event for WrestleMania. If Daniel Bryan comes back, assuming he's not, which I assume he's not. If I had to bet whether he was coming back or not, I would bet he isn't. Assuming he's not coming back, I think that they may do a Brock Lesnar Sheamus match. Who else do you have against Sheamus for what's the other title match? If you have Triple H Roman Reigns for the title, it's a waste of a title match. Because Triple H is not winning the title. And even if he does, he's not it doesn't make any sense to make that a title match. Why would you? Why would Triple H get a shot at the title if he's already running the company? Doesn't make any sense. So that's out the window. Triple H has to cost Roman Reigns the title before WrestleMania and then set up a Roman Reigns match, in my humble opinion. I believe John Cena will wrestle The Undertaker, as I said. Things can change, obviously. My opinion can change. I could be wrong. But that I believe still, nothing in the last week has changed my mind that Brock Lesnar is going to win the Rumble. And he's going to wrestle Sheamus for the title. That's what I think.
But that's your plan B, as in brogue kick.
That's right.
Right?
That's right, Katie.
You like plan A.
The Daniel Bryan thing?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the fantasy.
Yeah.
But it's also like everybody brace yourself. It's not Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns. It's Daniel Bryan, Sheamus. Because they're not, I mean, Roman Reigns, it's finally getting some cheers a little bit.
Oh, no. Stop. Press pause.
He's not?
The brakes have been pumped because Roman Reigns is getting tons of cheers. How could you disagree with that? Even in Brooklyn.
He's getting far more cheers. But every smile, every joke, every sort of wink costs the character. Every single one. And he still does them. And it's like, how, also, I watched the arrest on TV. Vince, like, bless his heart. Like, it was fun to see Vince on TV again. But the arrest segment could have gone a little more smoothly.
In what regard?
It just wasn't, the story was, like, Vince seemed like, it seemed like the cops weren't the greatest performers. And Vince had to kind of walk them into arresting him. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, you know, when you got to put it on your shoulders because you're dealing with somebody who's just not as great.
They got to hire those union, those SAG actors, man. We belong to a guild for a reason.
My favorite thing about the whole thing was the cops that arrested Vince were making mean wrestler faces at him. Like Hulk up faces. Like they're,
oh, man.
Because they were local wrestlers. And they were making mean wrestler faces. It was great. I did enjoy the segment, though. The arrest could have gone a little smoother. But I love seeing Vince back on TV. I'm very, very much looking forward to seeing him special referee the title match between Sheamus and Roman Reigns next week. I think that'll be good. John Cena. Anybody, you can say whatever you want about John Cena, but I'm going to tell you something. The crowd in Brooklyn was tired by the third hour of Raw. The crowd in Brooklyn was quiet by the third hour of Raw. They were also rambunctious. That's why there was a wave going on during the Sheamus-Rusev tag match. The wave started, and it lasted like the whole match. It's not a good sign.
Well, it's not a good sign when the wrestlers participate in the
right.
wave.
Right. It's like, Sheamus, at least you could be interested in the match.
No, he was doing the wave.
Bored. Boring. But John Cena came out, and with his promo, he lit that audience up. And they were booing him, and it was his one line. It was when they threw the shirt back, and John Cena grabbed the mic, and he told Alberto Del Rio, even the fans in Brooklyn are tougher than you. Put the title on the line.
He knows how to run a crowd, man.
And it was just that spontaneous moment. I mean, that's why he's in the spot that he's in. And maybe you give other people opportunities, they could be in that spot. That's regardless. That moment is why he's in the spot that he's in. And, I mean, I thought he did. I thought it was exceptional, that moment, what he did.
Well, and to the magnitude of when you're booed that much, it's like the no PR is bad PR. It's like
they have a reaction.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. They care. It's not a quiet.
In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn. Yeah. Yeah.
Put that
yeah.
right up there with Philly.
It's not a quiet return. But are you glad to see John Cena back?
Or oh, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about him? How do you feel about he and Roman sharing the responsibility for taking out the League of Nations?
I don't know where they're going with that.
Right.
With Roman and Cena. And to your point, maybe it will be a longer-term thing, but I'm kind of...
Yeah. See, I'm with you. Because in my head, logically, it makes sense to do Roman Triple H, Cena Undertaker at WrestleMania.
But then you just build up... You spend all this time making things right and building up two people simultaneously, which are very different people, but then you're going to have them collide?
Well, you're talking about Cena and Roman?
Yes.
I'm getting a very Mega Powers Collide vibe. How about Cena and Roman? Mega Powers, Hogan and Macho, they team up, they're best friends. Hogan congratulates Macho Man at WrestleMania 4 for winning the championship. They spend the next year tagging up. But you know what's always gotten in Macho Man's craw? That they team up and he's the champion, but Hogan's still the star. Plus, Hogan's got jealousy in his eyes.
That's good, Sam.
Because he's looking at Elizabeth.
Right.
And Macho doesn't like that. So I am feeling a very Mega Powers Unite and Mega Powers Collide thing going on with John Cena and Roman Reigns. I think it would have to be told in a different way because they're not turning either of those guys heel. They're just not. And I think when the Mega Powers collided, the story ended up building Hogan instead of Macho Man. I think if a Mega Powers Collide story happens between Cena and Reigns, instead of my plan for WrestleMania, which I'd be fine with, Cena's got to lay down. You know what I mean? It's got to be a scenario where Roman comes out on top and this is Cena passing the torch. You know, I'd like to see that. So, you know, it's a very interesting road to WrestleMania, as it were. I think it's good that Cena's back. I said before, You're never going to get as much out of Roman Reigns if he has friends than you are if he's by himself. So on that level, I don't necessarily love seeing Cena and Roman together. But if it leads to them fighting with each other, I'm cool with it.
Fair enough.
You see what I'm saying there, right?
I'm curious to how now in this timeline, that, like, what do you do with Fastlane? Or is it kind of a blow-off?
Fastlane
they haven't blown off any pay-per-views, really, if you think back in the last year.
No, and Fastlane is very, very, very contingent on what happens at the Rumble. No, I don't think anybody who predicts Fastlane right now is a fool. A darn fool.
Like, you've predicted many ahead.
That's true. But I always skip Fastlane. I always go, here's what happens at the Rumble, here's what happens at Mania. Never have a Fastlane plan. I think Fastlane is that kind of, like, tie the loose ends up from the Rumble so we can head into WrestleMania in the right way.
Right.
Maybe Fastlane is where Roman Reigns loses the title instead of at the Rumble. I don't know. But, yeah. You know, I mean, I would think, here's what happens at Fastlane. Sheamus gives Roman Reigns his rematch. So, Royal Rumble, Sheamus, Roman Reigns. Fastlane, another Sheamus, Roman Reigns match. Triple H beats the crap out of Roman Reigns at Fastlane, though. Like, Triple H, finally, the game comes back. And Triple H kicks the crap out of Roman Reigns, maybe with some help. And then you've got, okay, Roman Reigns, he got his rematch.
Yeah.
He lost. Now he doesn't care about Sheamus. Triple H, you're mine. So now you've got a scenario where you've got Roman and Triple H cemented going into WrestleMania. That's where I see it. And then Brock Lesnar is just sitting there waiting, like, okay, you got Triple H to help you beat Roman Reigns? Good, Sheamus, because I'm next. Because what we learn from these house shows, now especially, the Big Show thing, okay. But if he's wrestling Alberto Del Rio and he's wrestling Sheamus, number one, you're warming him up for Sheamus to see how they pair up. But number two, those are two of the top arguably the two top bad guys in the company. Brock Lesnar is a confirmed good guy. He's a confirmed babyface. Brock Lesnar is a good guy. He'll be wrestling a bad guy at WrestleMania. Sheamus will be the champion, in my opinion. There's your match.
What I think is hot about that is the accessories, which the League of Nations and then Heyman in those corners, I think, makes for a good dynamic story.
Yeah, I think it's good, too. A lot of people involved. We talked about Kevin Owens a little bit. The fans were going nuts for Kevin Owens in Brooklyn. Kevin Owens is going to be a major star. The other big thing that I noticed, those New Day shirts are selling like crazy. And I think that means a lot to WWE. When they see those T-shirt numbers moving,
oh, sure,
that means a lot. So I think that New Day is cemented. Here's what I want to talk about. And this is something you brought up last week. This is a name that's been on the tip of your tongue for a long time now. We got to see Sami Zayn return on NXT. Sami Zayn's back.
I thought that happened last night at Barclays, and I thought I was losing my mind.
What?
I thought
like we got to see him on Monday, and you're like, that?
I think I took a long bathroom break on that one.
I was in a coma. No, on Wednesday on NXT this week, Sami Zayn returned.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah. He looked good. Here's what I see. Do you want me to just – I'll ask you to be polite. Do you see anything for him or do you want me to tell you?
Wait, look like a psychic over here?
Well, I mean in terms of, you know, where does he go?
No, I want – you know you are the king of fantasy booking.
Because in my mind – because I was paying attention and it's like it's very exciting that Sami Zayn is back. But when he left, it was a Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens world. Now it's a Finn Balor, Samoa Joe world. It's a totally different scenario. So here's what I think. We must have a takeover between now and WrestleMania. The next takeover can't be April. There's got to be a takeover in winter. We just saw one in England. There's got to be a takeover in January or February.
Well, they're in Chicago and Wisconsin on the road.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll do a takeover before Dallas.
I would imagine so.
I think you should start a Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn feud. I don't think you should even think about putting Sami Zayn in with the champion yet. Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn. I think Sami Zayn should get through Baron Corbin, then get through Samoa Joe. Then, in Dallas, the night before WrestleMania, finally Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, NXT Championship. That's what you headline your Dallas takeover with.
I think it's like 2 days before. They do it on the Friday, right?
I think it's Saturday.
Saturday. It's Saturday?
I think it's Saturday. But that's where I would say, and I would say in the meantime, don't hint at it yet. It's only December. Baron Corbin's first. maybe Samoa Joe second, or maybe you carry Baron Corbin all the way, then have him wrestle Finn Balor, and then save Samoa Joe for Sami Zayn's first title defense. But I think you headline Finn Balor, Sami Zayn in Dallas.
It's strong.
I think it's really strong. I think that's the match for Dallas, personally. And I'm looking forward to it very, very much.
So, sorry, what do you do with Corbin then, if you do go that route?
After Sami Zayn?
No, if you go Zayn.
Well, you go Zayn and Corbin build up for a while. Because now Corbin's believable, right? Because he beat Apollo Crews.
Right.
So build that up for
It'd
a while.
It'd be more believable if he had a few more abs, but well, just saying.
Just got to tighten just up saying. The core. Well, and then have Sami Zayn beat Baron Corbin. You know, Sami Zayn's got to come out on top of that. Because the idea being Sami Zayn may win the NXT title for me. I mean, he would be Finn Balor's biggest threat to the title for by a mile. Right?
But I know I wasn't going to give my prediction, though, but you really think you keep him down in NXT for that long? I know, to
yeah.
your point, I understand that was, what, one match?
Yeah,
but
of
it was
course.
Electric.
I mean, I guess, but if you want, you can bring him up to the main roster and have him in the ring in a year with Heath Slater. You know? I mean, no. I would not put Sami Zayn in the main roster right now just because I like Sami Zayn. You know? Like, no, I don't think it would be good to put Sami Zayn on the main roster right now. He's been out for 5 months. So he could use some time in NXT, I think. You know, that does a lot to a wrestler. Spend the time in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And he never really was cemented as NXT champion. He didn't have a long run. Kevin Owens took it, and then Kevin Owens dropped it to Finn Balor because Sami Zayn got injured. Sami Zayn had the NXT title for a second. You know, Neville had it for a long time. Bo Dallas had it for a long time. Kevin Owens had it for a little bit. Finn Balor had it for a long time. But Sami Zayn's reign as champion was not long. Not long at all. So he hasn't had a great championship reign. I would keep him down. Yeah, there's no problem for me with keeping Sami Zayn down there. And NXT could use the star power.
Well, I think it has a strong bench right now.
Yeah, and add Sami Zayn to it. I mean, you got another main event player now. I mean, we're cycling through three people to main event, you know?
And although I just dissed Baron Corbin, I do like his character.
It's a great character. And he's like, I don't need abs. I'm too good.
Respect.
All right, Katie.
I got one more.
Yeah, tell me. Yeah.
Talk about Sin Cara.
Sin Cara apparently separated his shoulder.
Did that happen during match or before?
I believe that it happened when he got his ankle pulled off the apron. And the referee was checking him.
Good call. That's totally what happened.
Because, I mean, that was a big ankle sweep. Those Lucha Dragons, them and their ankle sweeps. If you remember at TLC, I think it was Kalisto then that got an ankle sweep off the ladder. And he did like four backflips on the way down.
Vicious.
Like, relax with the ankle sweeps, guys. You don't have to sell them that hard.
But I think, speaking of like selling hard, I think he's selling hard now.
Who, Sin Cara?
Yes, I do.
I mean, the Lucha Dragons are great.
But I think they're getting a push right now more than they have been.
Absolutely. You're right. Okay. You're right. I'm glad. And I'm glad people are seeing that in WWE. I mean, I think they provide a very strong value in terms of the Hispanic audience. Now they've got Alberto Del Rio on the bad guy side and the Lucha Dragons on the good guy side.
And Juan Cena.
Yes, of course. And I think that they're trying to build Kalisto into something big.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know,
no, I think that is an equal weight to Sin Cara.
I think Sin Cara is being used to push Kalisto higher. I think Kalisto is the guy they have their eye on.
Yeah, I would actually agree with you.
By the way, Sin Cara Dos.
Yeah.
Hunico.
It's like the Repo Man.
That's right.
It's like Doink.
No, it's like, yeah, it's like Doink. There was only one Repo Man.
Well, no, I confused my brain there because I thought for many years the Repo Man was Doink, so my
Repo
bad.
Man must have been a Doink at some point,
at
right?
At some point.
There were mad Doinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's great to see in the Lucha Dragons. I think they need a run with the tag titles.
They had a hot second.
A real hot second. Yeah. But, I mean, I wouldn't take it off the New Day, to tell you the truth. But
and especially since New Day is now, you know, coming after children.
They're so good. They're so good. When they said they're going to beat up the kids, like, how much fun are they having? And by the way, watch a New Day promo.
We will come fight your kids. Who says that?
Yeah.
Who says that?
Watch a New Day promo and tell me that, oh, it was better when there was cursing. it's not an Attitude Era question. People think that the Attitude Era was better because it was edgier, and that's not the case. The Attitude Era was not better because it was edgier. The Attitude Era was good because it was creative. New Day is creative and funny and different and feels of the time. New Day is now, contemporary. That's why it's good.
So much, in fact, that there was a bulldog behind us with a New Day unicorn horn.
Yes.
In the arena.
The bulldog's name, for the record, what? I found out from Kathy Kelly. Ziggler.
I did hear that. I didn't know.
Maybe we should rename him Langston.
Yeah.
I think he retweeted my tweet about the...
About the dog? Uh-huh. Got a retweet from Big E.
That's good.
That's good. Well, a lot of people retweeted that dog tweet. It's like 200 tweets or something. It's amazing. Amazing. You can see it at Catherine Kelly, by the way, with a C and then a K. All right, Katie.
Lots of C's and K's.
I know. I know. It's tough to keep track sometimes.
Cake.
Have we done it?
Colloquial. That's a Q.
I love the word colloquial.
Okay.
Okay. So, we thank everybody for joining us. Don't forget, you can always follow Katie Linendahl at Katie Linendahl on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And I want you guys, everybody out there, should be checking out Katie Linendahl's tech podcast. It's not even really a tech podcast. We call it a tech podcast because so much of Katie's life revolves around tech. But it really is a peek into the life of Katie Linendahl. Like, it's like, what besides pro wrestling makes this Linendahl brain tick? It's a very, very entertaining podcast. She has guests on from all aspects of her life. She talks about, like, what she's passionate about. And I'm on it. So it's really, really good. And I want everybody to go to katie.show. That's the URL, katie.show. You can find it there, or you can look up those words on iTunes. And subscribe to the podcast. It's very, very enjoyable. And, like, I come from the world of radio, right? I'm doing 15 hours of content every single week. This podcast, last week was an anomaly. It was 2 hours long. But this podcast is an hour a week. You mean to tell me that you wouldn't like to get an extra hour of Linendahl in?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I would appreciate that.
And, like, let's be honest. A lot of us wrestling fans, and I'm including me in with all of you listening, we need to broaden our horizons at times.
That's true.
Because if I didn't have the job in radio, oh my God, would I only be watching wrestling all the time.
That
would
true.
Be it. Katie will bring you into a world where it's like you can go to a party and actually have something to talk about other than what Chikara is up to.
We talk drones. We talk robots.
It's great.
All of it.
So check that out, and we will see you next week here on Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Follow at NotSam on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And subscribe for free to listen every week to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.